What am I supposed to say again?
What kind of podcast is this?
Oh, this is Bad Playstyle. We're a video game book club podcast wherein we talk about the video game we played this week.
NSFW?
Yeah, we swear a lot, and we're going to fucking spoil the shit out of this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about secrets?
Yeah, we're going to ruin all the secrets.
Such as?
Such as Bastil is really your mom.
I said dad.
Doesn't matter.
Bad Playstyle. I'm medium. You're caffeinated.
Yeah.
And you just woke up.
I'm large.
So, my name's Matt.
I'm Keenan.
I'm Owen.
Yep. And welcome to Sex Come As Well.
Whoa. What? Why are you looking at me when we say that?
Why are you going to make it gross?
That's the name of the game. Huh?
No, that's not.
Well, what is it?
We played XCOM 2 War of the Chosen.
Ah. Or WotC, as they say online. Confusing all of my friends.
Confusing everyone who's ever used that acronym elsewhere.
It never bothered me, because I always knew I was in the XCOM forums.
I don't like it.
Can you use a thing for two things?
Like
I went,
yeah, it can't be two things.
Yeah, things can't be two things, as the kids at work say frequently to me in response to me. Yeah, Owen, you got a Lego dragon there?
Yeah.
That's what's happening there? All right.
The likes of which are washing up on the shores of Cornwall.
Hell to this day, yeah. Which is, like, really interesting, because when you think of, like, knight slaying dragon, you think of King Arthur, and that's, like, Cornwall, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, it works.
King Arthur's ghost weeps.
All these fucking dragons coming from Finland! Yeah, what the fuck?
It's not from Finland.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From the Netherlands.
Okay.
Close.
Wrong. No.
Yeah, you're right.
Not at all.
No. I don't know Scandinavia that well. I don't.
All right,
which the Netherlands
is not in.
I understand. All right. Yeah. All right. Cool.
I'm with you on that one.
Well, basically, it's sideways North America.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's helpful.
Uh huh.
Sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In more ways than one. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
All right, so we played a video game.
We played a video game. We played XCOM 2 War of the Chosen, which I had previously. Wait, can I go through my journey with XCOM 2 real quick? Okay, so this game came out a while ago, and shortly before it came out, I think hype had something to do with why I made this decision, but I started playing the original. Enemy Within version of Long War, which, if for those that don't know, Long War is a modification for XCOM that is exactly what it sounds like.
Do you like XCOM and do you like pain?
It makes it longer and harder and more deep and tactical and engaging and in very fun ways. And I became, after playing hundreds of hours of that, I think, completely burned out on any sort of turn-based strategy game.
So you engaged in this Long War playthrough after you had pre-ordered...
I had pre-ordered XCOM 2, because, I knew I wanted to play it. And then XCOM 2 came out, and Keenan's... Whenever he sees me playing anything on the computer, there's a value judgment where he goes, do I want to play that too? And frequently the answer is yes. So he started playing it too... Although, I don't think you got as serious with it.
No, I did the same Long War thing you did, and then fell off faster.
Okay. So you just had sort of an accelerated program.
And you guys
program.
Had both pre-ordered XCOM 2.
Yep.
Yeah,
and both did not play it.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I got my money's worth eventually.
Yeah.
And then Wasteland came out, and I was like, I'll try this. Seems like a lower rant version of it, and I just couldn't do the tactical gameplay. And then I tried, a year after that, I tried playing XCOM 2, and it, I really kind of bounced off of it for a number of reasons, and then eventually coming back with, mod support and WotC, it was a much deeper experience, with much fewer timers this time around. I don't like timers. Timers are lame.
Yeah, there's like one of those starting options where you can just double all the timers.
Oh, I just removed them.
Oh, okay.
With a mod.
Yeah, there's one of the starting options where you can just double all the timers. Turns out if you double all the timers,
they don't matter.
They stop mattering completely.
Yeah, the timers are very tightly tuned.
Yeah.
But I just didn't, like, you know, there's situations where, you know, you half move with, like, your fourth person out of six. You do, like, a blue move into a new pod that you need all six of your members to deal with effectively. And it's just, like, the timers increase the amount of time that happens. Which I understand, like, why Jake and Garth would do that. But at the same time, I don't appreciate it. And they can go fuck themselves.
Okay.
Right?
That's like, not what you're here for.
That's not, I don't,
that's not your bad
place. Not trying to be rushed. Right? And so I'm changing it up. Yeah. But before we get too deep into XCOM, I've been playing this game, lately that's worth talking about on the podcast, called Hue. Have you guys heard of this?
I saw a little bit of it.
He's, the 3 of 5, he gets disconnected from the collective, and they're gonna hook him back up. Admiral Nachev says, you gotta blow up the Borgs with Hue, you gotta put the virus... Oh my god, I'm talking about a different Hue.
I'm with it.
Oh my god. No. It's the same one I was. Please finish. Please. What were you saying?
But they don't do it because it's wrong to commit genocide, even if it's against the Borg.
Right. And he can use his powers to color switch, and then so objects that are in the foreground fade into the background, and you can jump through them in this platformer.
Wow.
So we're talking about the same episode. Guy. It's great, yeah. It's a video game. Not an episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like us. Yeah.
It's a lot of those Star Trek video games. Mm-hmm, like that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, it's a pretty basic bitch platformer, but its big thing is that with your other hand, you can switch the color that the background is once you've collected that color. Mm-hmm. And you first start by solving puzzles with it, and then eventually it starts doing Twitch stuff where you need to, like, switch colors in midair to make the platform you're about to jump on appear at all, because it won't be there if you don't do that.
That's cool.
And then it starts doing stuff where you're doing that while being chased by boulders.
Okay.
And
it sounds like a game that sort of exists in the same canon as, like, Fez's platform rotating, like, sort of mind bending platform or platforming.
It sounds like a Limbo that doesn't suck.
It reminds me a lot. The game that I would compare it to is not either of those games.
That's so
the
fair.
Game that I would compare it to is VVVV.
Okay.
That's what it feels like more to me. So I've been playing that, and it's been good. I just got to the part where it's like, okay, and now what we're doing isn't like Baby Town Frolic. Like, you need to know what you're doing and, like, be comfortable with these controls.
Which reminded me, I've been meaning to replay VVVVV.
Because
That guy added a bunch of difficulty and accessibility options to it.
Oh, neat.
And I really liked that game, but it got too hard for me.
Yes, that also happened to me. I didn't know about that. I'll try it out.
Yeah.
Because I think I own that on Steam. Who wants to go next to talk about at least one?
Oh, Keenan does. I just saw it in his eyes.
Yeah, totally. I have played a lot of Out of the Park Baseball still, and I found out that my virtual Mariners aren't as good as the real Mariners, which who would have ever fucking thought that? That's fucking weird.
Do they pay for their own stadiums?
That dialogue option hasn't come up yet.
Okay.
But I would be happy to.
No. They have a fiduciary responsibility to bilk their populace around the stadium for as much money as possible.
Those are the rules.
They should build infrastructure for us.
Just make the Mariners pay for all the bike lanes.
Yeah.
And then...
Like, you want transit by the stadium? Fucking pay for it.
Yeah.
And then they announced that Dwarf Fortress was coming to Steam because the people who make Dwarf Fortress need healthcare.
So then you promptly did the thing that you did with XCOM.
Yep, where I booted up Dwarf Fortress.
So you could play it in its pre-Steam release version to ensure that you're burnt out on it. Look,
part of it was I wanted to remember what old Dwarf Fortress was like before new Dwarf Fortress came in.
It'll always exist.
Yeah, that's true. Whatever, I'm enjoying it! And I'm playing some Dwarf Fortress.
But, like, tell us, like, what are you doing?
Fucking up a lot. I have lost 2/4 to trying to make a moat, and decided that third time around I'm not gonna fuck around with making a moat.
Well, you've been trying to fill a moat with liquid, right?
Yep. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
No. That seems like
I told you not to do that.
You did, and then I tried it one more time, and I failed, and I drowned, like, half my populace, so, and I was like, I'm not doing this again.
In addition to Kenan destroying his own fortress, building a moat. Filling a moat with liquid makes it far less effective in Dwarf Fortress.
So not only does it make it more dangerous, it lowers the its ability to do its intended function.
Because if the liquid fills to the surface, or to the rim, like you might expect a moat to do, creatures can swim across it, because swimming is like a practiced and learnable skill in Dwarf Fortress. Mm. So if an invasion of 100 goblins shows up, maybe like 10% of them might actually know how to swim, and then they can just get across it.
And, it's and like, then they start rolling the dice on their climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds horribly
effective. Also, anytime you fuck around with water, you're going to kill your frame rate.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's just bad. I'm not doing that this time. Working out pretty well.
I feel like you need to fill a moat with, like, murder holes, not water.
I'm thinking, I've been concocting...
Animals? Okay.
I mean, that's just me, but...
Right. I've been concocting a plan in my head to have it go about 4 layers down and then carve out most of that layer into a floor where we trap shit. But I haven't gotten that far.
Like, if the fall is far enough, and there's animals down there, people who fall down are going to be helpless, and then the animals come and kill them.
So they become, like, slightly injured and helpless for a while.
What about very injured?
Yeah.
What about profoundly injured?
What about 5Z levels? Your legs are definitely broken, injured.
Like, legs and arms broken, can't pick up a weapon, can't defend yourself, as, like, house cats come eat you.
And the dogs are hungry.
Like, it doesn't even need to be particularly vicious animals.
No.
Because they're starving.
Yeah.
Because they subsist on a steady supply of goblins.
This reminds me of the like Chernobyl ant colony under the ant colony.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Subsists on dying ants.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And I've been playing like dumb MOBAs with my friends, and that's it. All
right. We don't need to talk about that.
We're not.
I never want to talk about that.
I do want to go back to PUBG and play some more PUBG.
Yeah, I've been feeling that a little bit lately. Yeah.
Scheduling, though. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. Going to be real keen. Probably not going to play with you.
Yeah? No, that's cool. I will totally not take that personally. Yeah.
So, do you want to explain to the listeners what the hell you're talking about?
I was third from the bottom of the list on shift bids at work, which means that I am working a 2 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. schedule.
So, like, booking this was a pain in the ass.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. Booking anything is a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
It's basically a question of how much do I not want to sleep? The answer's none, but I got things I gotta do, man.
Speaking of not sleeping, the Resistance needs your help.
Yep.
Okay, aliens have invaded, and the commander.
Yeah. What about what Owen rescued?
Oh, we did. We just missed Owen. Okay, Owen, what's up?
I played. Hey, Owen, what did you play?
Yeah, no. I would love to hear what you've done.
Just do it. I want to hear about
weeks.
It.
I booted up Kerbal Space Program because they put in a new update.
Ooh.
Where they added fine-tuning in maneuver nodes.
Okay.
What does that mean?
So there's like a little interface for when you plan a maneuver in space, and it had this like little fiddly set of like 6 levers that you can tug on to try and create like a very specific
velocity change.
Yeah, so they implemented a one where you can type in the values or click on buttons to tick them up and tick them down and things like that. So I spent a couple evenings playing Kerbal Space Program.
So it's like more precise now.
Is it better?
Oh yeah, it's great. And they've been rolling out like lots of different interface changes that. So like, for those at home who don't know a lot about Kerbal was developed by one team, and then that team sold the game off, or the team came apart one by one basically, and the company that owned the game didn't want to own the game or deal with owning the game anymore, so they sold it. And so there's a number of design decisions they made a long time ago of things they didn't want to put in the interface that the old team didn't want to do. And the new team was like, hey, this game would just fucking be better.
What if we just
usability of this game?
I can understand some of their resistance to it, but like, whatever. I mean, the game's more playable now. So like, you'll get your Delta V readouts in all your different stages.
That's
and
nice.
Things like that.
That's cool. You don't have to mod that in.
Yeah, you can get complicated orbital information without having to install mods. You can, it's good.
Yeah, it's interesting that they expected people to do, like, that kind of orbital mechanics without any data. Or, like, with less data.
That's a conversation for a different time.
Okay.
Like, I understand
where they're coming from with it.
Okay. Is it just like, we don't want to overcomplicate it for new users?
Yeah, I think like, rather than forcing you
to learn... That's part of it.
Forcing you to learn the math is a big ask, right?
Like, the game is already very intimidating to a lot of people, and giving people a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
That
should mean something and don't.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that makes it a questionable decision.
There's a... Like, even just, like, the... titles, like the jargon for the various numbers that become important to you in Orbital Mechanics, are very much like, I am out of my... Yeah. Are going to make people feel like they're out of their depth.
There's not a lot you can relate it to.
Yeah.
Is the hard part.
And then I bought a game on Steam. I bought a Totally Accurate Battle Simulator.
Oh yeah, because that 1.0, right?
No, it went into Early Access.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like a free alpha before, and they actually like polished it up and made it like less of a janky piece of developer art and made it into like a real looking game, and it's not done yet, but like whatever. And
that's one of my favorite Twitter accounts, is that guy's account.
Yeah, it's weird to see how much they've polished up that game and how much they haven't. Because it's like
how much of it was a stylistic choice and how much of it...
Yeah, like they all still have googly eyes. But like all the levels now are like these beautiful like sort of like simple voxely pastures and farmlands.
Is everybody still pink
in Grecian cities? Well, the red and blue.
Okay.
But there's like, and they reined in how silly some of the units are, and then also introduced like new sillier units. Like there's no longer the chicken man, who's like a dancing dude in a trench coat who craps chickens.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's snake archers.
To shoot snakes.
Hell
so,
yeah.
So hold on, you're getting ahead of it. The bow's made out of a snake, and they have a quiver of arrows.
Okay.
But when they draw the arrow and shoot it, and that arrow lands, it turns into a snake and nibbles on people.
Okay.
Is
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton still on
the No, game? They're not. Well, I don't believe so. I don't think I've unlocked everything, but okay. I don't think so.
I remember that was a big part of it. They were like the god tier units.
Yeah. They were the goofy developer ones at the end. Where Hillary shoots her emails at people.
Yeah, and Donald Trump builds a wall.
Yeah. Well, and it has...
two machine guns.
Yeah, he has two, like, M16s that he fires at Fallout without aiming.
And they shoot him around.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The recoil on them bounces him around the map.
But those two are gone. And I've been playing that. It gets kind of hard. They added a woolly mammoth. I really like the woolly mammoth.
Does it also have googly eyes?
Yeah.
That's important.
And when it dies, it just gets big black X's.
Aww.
And there's a priest unit, and he shoots a laser out, and it makes whoever he's lasering invincible.
Okay.
So you can get a woolly mammoth with like... But every time you shoot, the laser lasts for a little bit, and then he has to shoot another one. So what you do is you get a woolly mammoth being followed by a cadre of like four priests, like hop, hop, hop. And the mammoth just stampedes through their lines, and they can't hurt it. Like, it's really...
That sounds great.
There's a lot of really... dumb shit you can do in that game.
Snake archers sound like my kind of unit.
Yeah,
I remember like a good strategy in that game was just mass ranged units.
Yeah,
was a good strategy.
Yeah, and well, it depends on what you're fighting. You know, they added hobbits.
Okay,
or they're halflings, but like they're definitely it's some like Peter Jackson ass looking halflings,
right?
And they like. They like leap and wrestle you. I'll show it to you after podcast. It's there's something to behold.
That sounds bonkers.
Yeah, they're very silly.
Okay.
All right.
So just pretend all that shit I said before. I just said, hey guys, what's wrong with XCOM 2? What do you not like about XCOM 2?
Initially, I did not like how it is not XCOM 1, but I learned to adapt to XCOM 2.
I think I like most of the things about XCOM 2 better than XCOM 1.
Yeah, but it took me a while to get there.
I don't like that you don't have the half-human mech troopers from the expansion from the first game. Because they made this like big thing of saying, like, when one of these guys becomes a mech trooper, he's doing it for life.
Yeah.
He can never go back to his life before. And so, like, I was really hoping that, like when XCOM 2 first came out, like,
troopers.
Yeah, I wanted them to show up and be like these, like, fucking broken husks of people who sacrificed so much.
Yeah.
So I did a little research on the sort of the timeline after, because I think it was one of you guys I had a conversation with where I was like some of the stuff from XCOM 1 actually happened in real life, and some of it didn't. I find there's a specific point. Early on in the game, there's the base assault,
mm-hmm.
and you fend them off.
Yeah.
In the actual timeline, that...
That didn't happen?
That's not how it went.
The base got nuked?
That is the moment that the base was assaulted and everyone was taken. And actually, the Chosen, from War of the Chosen, mm-hmm. are the people you rescue from Annette Duran's quest in the first game.
Okay.
The three people, the Furies.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't remember that. I mean, it's been a long time since I played that first
game. It's been a long time. But, like, there's those two quests.
Oh,
there's...
so that's why the Chosen talk about formerly being human.
Yeah. It makes a lot of their dialogue make a lot more sense. They were the three psychic humans that were being, like, experimented on by the Ethereals.
Okay.
Or at least that's the implication.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily been said.
I mean, like, even if that wasn't the case, it's, like, not the most outlandish thing that, like, oh, yeah, the Advent made the Chosen out of people, because, like, it's what they're doing.
Yeah. By the end of the game, that's definitely what they're doing.
The snakes have, like, mammalian, like, breasts.
Yeah.
Like, there's human DNA in the snake people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to make the perfect man to inhabit.
There's everything ethereals. DNA in the everything. Like, yeah. they made the mutants less mutant-y.
Yeah.
They made the thin men less men, and certainly less thin.
Well, there's still one thin man.
Yeah, there's one thin man, and he gets his.
Yeah.
I missed the one thin man, apparently.
He's Beaker.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah!
That's why he wears sunglasses all the time.
Yeah.
And has fucking snake spots on his neck.
Yeah.
I did not put that together.
Yeah. Because remember like, when you first meet the snake people... In XCOM 2,
yeah.
Tigan goes on this thing about how there used to be thin man.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my god.
Well, and it makes sense that he's a thin man because the thin men were the spin agents, right?
Yeah. They were the men in black.
Yeah.
Yeah. The MIBs. Yeah. Oh my god. Do you hate Tigan?
I'm just so tired of him. It's probably mostly because I've played through this game like four or five times now. But like, with every playthrough, his like, tell and not show of what every unit is just becomes more tiresome.
I was getting tired with him by the end.
He certainly pales in comparison to Dr. Vollen.
Yeah, the few times I got Dr. Vollen voiceovers because I killed the whatever king or queen,
yeah, the alien rulers,
were like refreshing in a way where it was like, oh, I remember what we used to have.
I don't think any of that writing is especially good.
No,
like,
but...
Like, there's the first time you encounter any given alien soldier type, you'll get, like, a lengthy audio diary about what their shtick is, and it's like, show me in the game somehow.
Yeah.
Like do a thing. Do any
Yeah, I remember how they used to do it is through the autopsies.
Yeah.
The autopsies and the captures.
And the interrogations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which I always went South America to make those instantaneous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because in the long run, it saves you a shitload of research time. Yeah. Anything else wrong with XCOM?
Kind of, but I don't think this is the point where I want to bring up my thing with it.
Okay.
I feel like the difficulty curve is lower in XCOM 2.
Well, you certainly reach the plateau of being able to slaughter absolutely everything quicker.
Yeah.
And
I don't know that that's a bad thing.
Mutant berserkers are absolutely neutered from what they were in the last game.
Really? Because I found them to be not... very much more dangerous from the first game, but I found them to, like, at least occasionally hurt or kill people. Whereas in the first game, you could kite them back and forth between your soldiers, because Mutant Berserkers got a free move every time you shot at them.
Yeah.
And they would charge at whoever shot at them. So, like, they were a fucking joke.
So in
old XCOM.
Maybe I'm remembering Long War, so this might be, like, a conflated memory.
I think this is the case, because I remember having this conversation with you before about Berserkers, because you were like, man, Berserkers, and I'm like, yeah, Berserkers. Like,
yeah, I remember EU Berserkers were scary at first, and then when you figured out how to deal with them, it was like, oh, I know how to deal with this, and you deal with it, and it's fine. But I remember Long War, and this might have just been Long War, but it might have also been Enemy Within. Berserkers were like, okay, if I don't deal with this in one turn, one of my soldiers is just dead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like that is it. That's the long and the short of that conversation. Okay. If you don't deal with the berserker the second you see it, it kills one of your soldiers.
I never remember them getting to that point. So I bet the creators of Long War were dissatisfied with Mutant Berserkers.
I'm dissatisfied with all of the Mutant Berserkers I've seen in a Jake Solomon production, because in I think my soldiers did not get injured very often from Mutant Berserkers, and if they did, it was, yeah. It was no big deal. I think that they should have given the Mutant Berserkers in 2 the same ability they gave the Mutant Soldiers, which is to block all melee attacks.
Yeah.
I think that would have been fair.
Yeah, melee is way strong.
Like, because with the level of their health, and maybe it's because I'm playing on a lower difficulty, but with the level of their health, if you had to exclusively deal with them with the sort of more inconsistent range shots, then I think that would have been a harder thing to...
Yeah, they would have gotten to ravage your shit.
They would have been able often, to run through the gunfire and be scarier than they
and
are.
I think it would have more... reflected more the aesthetic that they were going for.
Okay. Consider this. What if they just always had Shadow Step?
I mean, yeah, you could do that too, but I think the Shadow Step
remember
enemy...
that thing you hated? We made it way worse!
Like, powerful enemy melee units with Shadow Step.
Well, no, I think worse than... Because that's the thing is in this one, we have Shadow Step, and one of their units has Lightning Reflexes. Mm-hmm. Right? And the big difference between that is the Spectres use Lightning Reflexes to run Overwatch for their friends.
Well, the Chosen can straight up get Shadow Step.
I mean, yeah, the Chosen can too, but that's the difference between Shadow Step and Lightning Reflexes. Yeah. And Lightning Reflexes says, here, shoot at me.
Yeah.
Right? And then your friend moves, and he gets his free move. And like that's the type of thing they would get into. Right? Whereas with us, we don't have access to Lightning Reflexes, as far as I know. There might be it somewhere that I've not...
Yeah, I think on the skill tree, you know, a soldier will have, like, the wild card slot.
Oh, is it AWC only?
I think that can show up there.
Okay. So as I'm talking about, like, in Long War, there was a class called the Scout, and the Scout was god-awful at any sort of, like, offensive capability at first.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things they had was increased mobility and the Lightning Reflexes perk from, like, basically level 1.
Okay.
Right? And so you would use them to find enemy pods before they found you, activate them advantageously, and then, like, run their Overwatch so that your soldiers can get in the correct position to murder them. So it's like, yeah, that's like a difference there. I think Lightning Reflexes is more interesting than Shadow Step.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like,
tactically. It feels more intentional.
Yeah. And
it's not just like, I'm a sneaky shithead.
Especially the way original Long War handled it, where it wasn't the first shot is guaranteed to miss you. This is the first shot has a minus this much equal to, like, basically your level.
Right.
Versus their level. Right? So it was like, you know, your guy would have, like, a 75% chance to miss that Overwatch, which is a much more, like, intentional decision that you have to make. Right?
Sure. You're still risking something.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's much more interesting.
But anyway. Berserker Mutant.
No big deal.
See me after class.
Yeah. And then the regular Mutants, they have the whole melee, like, thing. But once that happens to you the first time, and you're like, oh, fuck, then you, like, they're...
Or the second time, if you're an idiot like me.
but that's, like, that's the core XCOM loop, is you try things you do use on everything else, and then you go, oh, that doesn't work on you, gotta do something else, right? Like, that's...
Okay, did you guys ever run into this, though, where it's like, all right, this Mutant's really low, and my ranger can go over and slap it with a sword, and it'll probably kill him. And if it kills him, then the Mutant doesn't get to punch him right back.
Yeah.
You know, and then, like, fast forward, like, 60 seconds, you're cussing at the screen.
Yeah.
Because your ranger rolled minimum damage on his fucking sword swing, and the Mutant donked
shrugged
him in the
face.
Shrugged
it off and slapped him. Yeah. Yeah, and I find the Mutants are less grenade happy in 2.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
That is not the case that I
okay.
had. Yeah,
maybe I wasn't grouping my guys enough.
Yeah, I kind of tend to cluster. It's a problem. I think my major problems with XCOM 2 is I actually really, really like XCOM 2's strategy layer, except for the one minor detail of it throws too much shit in your face, and I think that's mostly a UI problem.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. the way the UI is, like,
I think it could
this thing needs all of your attention right now.
I think it could sort things better.
Yeah, I think if the guys at Firaxis went over and talked to the guys at Paradox for a minute, you could probably sort all the problems I have with the strategy layer in XCOM 2 out in about a day.
Yeah.
But the XCOM 2 strategy layer, I find much more engaging than the satellite game in XCOM 1.
I like the offensive nature of it
more. Yeah.
Well, and there's so much of the first XCOM that are callbacks to the original games,
right.
Where it's like this idea of, like, building a stable of fighter planes and launching satellites over continents, where it's like, it all works kind of okay in that game, but the reason it's in that game is because it was in the originals.
Yeah, that is a very, very point. A very good point,
This is something that was created that fits the needs of this game a lot better.
In XCOM 2 Wolverines, you're going after them, and you're doing your thing there, and it's a different... I think it's great that everything about the game changed in relation to that, right? That you're scrapping for resources and scraping things together and getting what you can, rather than it being about how much can I hold, which are two completely different gameplay.
It's like holding onto a ball of sand, versus like being in the money chamber,
grabbing
out of the air, you know. Like one of those. It's like we talked about this before with the WoW rest XP.
Yeah,
remember? Like it was, you know, we presented it as a negative, everyone hated it. Presented it as a positive, everyone fucking loves it. Right? It's the same dynamic, or at least a very similar one.
I really liked the rhythm in the strategy layer of like, I'm gonna go do some stuff to get some stuff to do better later. And then, like, oh shit, I gotta go deal with
I definitely caught lightsaber fever multiple times in this game where I'm like, oh, I'm trying to use that new shit!
Yeah. Right?
So, the only thing I don't like in the strategy layer is there's certain resources where if you squander them, there's really nothing you can do to go get them.
What resources are you talking about?
So, like, at one point, I was trying to build the middle armor, the metal, the plated stuff. And you need to have a bunch of a bunch of Advent soldier corpses.
Oh.
And I had sold off all my soldier corpses at one point, because I was like, soldier corpses, we already did the research from that, like, we're good to go.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can make the game give you some.
Right.
Because it's like, it's random what enemies you get on a map.
Right.
And officer corpses are not soldier corpses. And priest corpses are not soldier corpses, and purified corpses are not soldier
corpses. Yeah, there's a point where they just tech away from soldiers.
You needed some, like, basic ass.
And, like, you can't go buy them from the black market. And so, like, it actually made the middle of my game super fucking hard, because we were on the basic ass armor, and we actually leapfrogged plated armor and went to powered armor. Because, like, I got the corpses. I could have bought the armor, but by then I was, like, a day from getting powered armor. It's like, Fuck it.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a lot of stuff I definitely didn't get because I ran out of Illyrium and alloys. And unlike UFO missions in this game, unlike in XCOM 1, don't yield buttloads of resources. Really?
The UFO I did, like it was like a fucking bank.
Apparently I'm blowing too much in the UFOs up. Yeah. I don't know, but I was not getting the resources I needed out of those missions. And
one thing that I would say would be a problem is that once I had two sparks of fairly high level, I stopped bringing specialists and grenadiers on every level. Like, I was only bringing sparks, snipers, and rangers.
That's interesting.
At a certain point, it was just like, okay, I need things that break the action economy, and then I need these two robots, and that's it. And at a certain point, that was my strategy. I didn't really, like, I very rarely use my grenadiers and specialists after that point.
I mean, that's just a payoff of you investing highly in your sparks.
I suppose that's...
Because, like, getting a spark in the first place is already a huge investment.
It's a pretty big ask, yeah.
And then, like, leveling one up all the way, especially since you get them, like, not, like, late in the game, but, like, you can't have them from the beginning.
Right.
So to, like, have them, like, at... whatever they have a different set of ranks, don't they?
Yeah.
It's called, but...
They go up to, like, Myrmidon or something?
Something weird.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. It's kind of like the psychic troopers. Like, you invest enough in them, eventually they do become these, like, really great utility popping machines, you know?
Yeah, so like my mech trooper story is that I got one, and I got him late enough in the game that he never...
You're talking about sparks?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry, whatever.
I'm just clarifying that.
I got him late enough in the game that he only made it up to, like, the first rank. And he got fucking annihilated on a mission. I was just like, whatever. This campaign's, like, I knew I was near the end of the game. It's like, I'm not loading this.
Mine went on a bunch of missions, but he got buried in the rank listing. Like, he ended up towards the bottom because everyone else
passed. That's the other thing, too, is I forgot to bring him out a lot because he would...
Oh, I started bringing him because he never gets tired.
Yeah.
That was my big impetus for doing it. I just needed a dude who had shred who wouldn't get tired. Right. And that was the big reason I brought him, is because he can pop his overdrive and go shred on a thing that I just holo targeted.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, because my my what's it called, the Reaper. Mm-hmm. She random holo targeting.
Cool.
On her extra fucking thing, sick. Dude, which was great because I could be like holo target.
Your character in my game was a specialist. Also got holo targeting. Yeah. Really like that.
Turns out getting holo targeting on anything but a heavy is. Yeah. Really yeah. good.
It's still really good on a heavy too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's not bad on a heavy, but everybody else has higher aim. So
my party consisted of guaranteed at least one ranger at all times. Owen, you were one of my best rangers. Yay. And Matt, you ended up being a pistol marksman. And then your combat role completely changed when I gave you the chosen weapons.
Oh.
Because they're busted as fuck.
Yeah.
So, you would sit back, and anything that got near you would just get triple tapped to death.
Oh, nice, yeah.
But you were sitting back just, wrecking people from across the map. Yeah. And
that chosen sniper rifle is so fucking good, because it can move and shoot.
Yeah. It can move and shoot. It gets two free reloads. It has a 20% chance to free fire again.
I mean, once you get serial, you can clear a whole map of two activated pods if you do it right.
Super ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, it's busted.
Yeah, so you guys both got chosen weapons because you were, like, highest rank at the time, and it just made sense. And so anytime you both were on a mission, shit just died.
My chosen weapons changed hands a lot.
Yeah.
They went on every mission.
Yeah.
At a certain point, we stopped using the chosen assault rifle. I don't remember why.
It's not as good.
Well, and the other thing is, right near the end of the game, like, right before we started doing the sort of endgame missions, mm-hmm. I had Breakthrough, Plasma or All Your Shotguns Are Better. Mm-hmm. And then immediately after that, Breakthrough, plasma weapons are all better.
Yeah.
So my plasma shotguns were already doing more damage than every other gun, and then had an additional +2 on top of that, as opposed to the +1 everybody else had.
Obscene amounts of damage.
And I had a mod where my soldiers can choose what weapons they did. And there were certain limitations on this. I wasn't going to give everybody bullpups, right? Because that's busted. But I was like, hey, psychic trooper, have a shotgun. Right, so Keenan, you were my psychic trooper. You and Cyril Figgis were my psychic troopers, and I took you on the radio tower mission.
Oh yeah,
towards the end, the commando raid, and you had whatever the final tier plasma shotgun is, mm-hmm. And you were doing, I think it was 10 to 12 damage with a hit,
like
on
minimum,
that thing.
Yeah,
like minimum. So that went real good.
I didn't have any psychics. Because by the time I'd built it, I had nothing underneath a sergeant.
So I didn't do them at all this time, because in my previous playthroughs of XCOM 2, I've never been exactly dazzled with Psy Troopers. Like, all their abilities are good,
mm-hmm.
but, like, they never felt worth the investment of, like, okay, now I need to research science. Now I need to build science. Mm-hmm. Now I need to build a special room for the psychic people. Then I need to put the people in the psychic oven for a week and a half so they can come out psychic. You know, then they have to rank up their psychic trees. Like, man, fuck this. Like, he can stay a ranger. He is a great ranger.
You find just the way you is.
I mean, so for me, the big payoff for the psychic soldier was on the final mission, having mind control two codexes, mm-hmm. and having the avatar of the commander. Laying three different psychic vortexes on an area that the final avatar teleported back into and have it collapse at the end of the turn.
Nice.
So we dealt like fucking 16 damage to it with this three collapsing vortexes.
Mind control. It's interesting you bring up mind control, because mm-hmm. the Matt Renton soldier on my squad was the specialist that I teched up to be like the high hacking skill.
Mm.
And so when I would get resistance orders, he would always go out on any mission that had a permanent plus to hacking.
Mm, yeah.
So on the final mission, you managed to hack an elite sectopod.
Hell yeah!
And like fucking annihilated dudes with that. Like first of all, like hacking sectopods became like long before the
that
last
was like
mission.
My thing.
This is like a thing.
That was
yeah.
like your staple. Is just like,
oh, cool, a sectopod. That's fine.
Yeah, and like it got up to like where it was like a 50-60% chance that you could hack a given sectopod, and that's enough for me to like maybe save scum it now and then. and yeah, having a sectopod, like first of all, them not having a sectopod when they thought they had a sectopod, like, really
that'll really fuck your day up. Yeah,
but also like having that sectopod turn on them and like start destroying their cover,
mm-hmm. and have them start shooting it so that even when you lose it,
oh yeah.
Like it's a win-win.
Yeah, they're it's just fantastic to have an enormous robot that you have like zero investment in protecting.
Yeah,
because you can just walk it around in the open, get it shot a bunch.
Yeah,
yeah. I speaking of having zero investment in, all the soldiers I lost in this campaign were the dipshits from the Resistance
Order. Those Resistance Orders are so good.
I was considering it in the Resistance Order. I was like, which Resistance Orders do I want? I was undervaluing the Resistance guy because I was like, I don't need a crappy soldier with an assault rifle.
Yeah, you do.
Right, but then Owen, we were talking in Discord and you were like, oh, dude, I treat those guys like dog shit.
Yeah.
I just use them as cannon fodder. And I was like, oh, that is really smart.
You should have told us your name, man. Yeah. Like, now you have to die.
Especially the Advent one, because, like, I got no sympathy for you.
So I realized just now talking about like who had psychics and who didn't. My XCOM was incredibly anti-psychic because we ended up getting a resistance order that was anytime anyone tries to mind control you, they take 4 damage. And then literally I was like, I'm tired of being mind controlled, and I just made 6 mind shields. I was like, fucking, this is the first item I unlocked. It's going on everybody. So we never got mind controlled, and anyone who tried it took 4 damage, which made codexes the dumbest enemy ever, because they'd be like, your guns are unloaded, and we'd be like, you're dead, we don't care!
Like, you've exploded.
Yeah, like, they just blow themselves up so bad that it was like, oh, okay, I don't care, I'm gonna deal with your friends now.
So,
and when you're running 2 sword guys, you don't care that your guns are unloaded.
Yeah.
Very much enjoyed Templars.
Yeah,
a lot of people give Templar shit. Although I gotta say, my favorite Resistance faction hero unit was the Reaper.
Yeah,
just because of the utility of scouting pods before you knew where, like, just that by itself, having a battle scanner that just moves around the battlefield, like, that's fantastic.
It's funny because they're like, I'm not saying that that's not a valuable part of a Reaper, but they are my least favorite of the three, the three soldiers, the three, whatever.
I think it's just flashbacks from the Long War that make me like very like, this is a game about pods and activating pods and
having
doing
more
that
information
when I
want. Than the enemy is incredibly valuable.
Right. So I think that's like you having played XCOM 2 before, you understand the game in like probably a more holistic way than I do, right?
There are very few people I would allow to double move turn 1 and 2. My Reaper was definitely allowed to move turn 1 and 2.
It could also be that I'm a child and I'm enticed by the toys that the other two bring in.
Sure. I felt that the Skirmisher was somewhat underpowered.
Yeah.
Compared to everything else going on.
Oh, man.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong.
The Son of Moog, man.
Once you get the ability to hand a blue action to another,
yep.
that is very good.
Well, especially if they bond with a squad mate, too. Because
double do it.
Yeah. So, okay. Keenan, your character was bonded with Mox. So, like, you got so many bonus actions.
I got a
lot
of actions, yeah.
Like, I could double move.
What was Keenan?
Keenan's Grenadier.
Oh, okay.
So, like, double move him in like a very panicked way and then give him his whole turn back.
Right.
With
right.
Holo-targeting.
And then say,
with...
hey, set up everyone else's turn to be good.
Yeah.
Right? By blowing up their cover or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, so. And that fucking grappling hook is so fucking good.
The grappling hook's really good.
Yeah, because it doesn't actually use your movement.
Yep. Yep. So, like, you can make him do the dumbest little grapple moves to just get free movement.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, Worf, why did you. And zip across the map, you know,
I got a mod that made more of his abilities critical than were sort of default in the game, and I felt like that evened it up a lot more.
Okay.
Okay, weapon attachments, what's ideal?
Stocks.
Whatever I have,
yeah.
On whatever empty slots I have.
Okay.
Like, I just want to have enough guns for, I want to have enough so everyone has a cool, tricked out gun.
Why stocks?
Is that the miss damage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, shred applies to stocks.
Okay.
On grenadiers.
Okay.
That's really
so
all
they're
I
just
need
on
to
Overwatch
say.
And you don't care if they hit because they're still shredding.
Well, even better than that is later on in the tree for sparks, they get an ability where 33% of the time when an enemy moves and they can see them, they will fire at them. And they have shred.
Yeah.
And they have
no,
stocks.
No, that's really good, yeah.
And their stocks...
I see why they're a cornerstone now.
Their stocks don't apply shred.
Okay.
But they have better aim than Grenadiers.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. So I went for in this order, stocks are very important, because it's very important for me to do guaranteed damage. Like, if somebody has 2 health left, I really just need them to be dead, mm-hmm. right? Then clips, like expanded reloads. Those are very important for snipers who are doing serial. Mm-hmm. And they're very important for grenadiers, so I'm not wasting blue moves reloading.
I can never get excited for parts that have like a 5 to 10% chance right. of something cool happening.
It's, yeah, it's basically just like all the things that are like extremely low chance for something cool to happen. I don't, those don't get me excited.
Yeah, the higher tier ones are way better. Like
I mean, but even when you get up to 15, 20% chance or whatever like it is. You
can't count on it.
You
can never like expect it to save your skin when you're in a tight situation.
Yeah. My whole strategy for upgrades and equipment in XCOM is making the things that the XCOM soldiers are good at more consistent.
Okay.
That's literally it. Okay. Not more effective, more consistent, so I can count on that thing happening. Yeah. Right.
So in that vein, like, all my shotguns ended up with crit bonuses. But and all my snipers got scopes, because want them to hit.
In all the XCOM games, snipers don't have the accuracy that it feels like you want them to.
I mean, they kind of do later on, but at the beginning, no, they don't.
Yeah. So, like,
if you're a sharpshooter, you should hit that shot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, period. So yeah, but all my mid-range, like, all my specialists or like, my lower-level characters, mm-hmm. who were just riflemen, basically, like, half of them got the instant kill item, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't normally, like, espouse it, but that shit worked a couple times I really needed it to work.
You told me you killed the Archon King.
The Archon King was about to win, like, super hard, like, down four of my guys at once, and he got fucking dunked on by...
So I only had one of the alien rulers show up in my game.
So in WotC, they...
they go to the buildings.
Yeah, they go to the facility. So if you're not raiding facilities to bring the Avatar timer down, then you don't fight them.
Oh, okay. And then usually they'll try and escape, and then they'll show up on other missions after that.
Okay, I feel like I've always just sort of organically run into all of them over the course of a campaign.
That's how that normally goes.
In this campaign, I only ran into the serpent one.
Yeah, and so, yeah, again, in this one, they're only on those, so, yeah. I actually really like that, and especially since it warns you in the UI, it says a very powerful entity is guarding this facility, so you know, like, if you go there, you're going to be fighting a ruler. You need to bring your A game, right? And not just your A game. Every single soldier needs to be capable of dealing damage to this thing.
Berserker queen
every
had
turn.
No chance.
Yeah. The Berserker one's probably the easiest one to deal with.
Yeah, and it, like, just face tanked us, and that's kind of what we were built for at that point. Like, it was bad. It was bad for it.
Well, I mean, just simply by the virtue of it being a melee unit, it's going to be running out of cover a lot, mm-hmm. which just means, like, okay, so the whole squad can shoot it. Like, I don't care how tough it is this turn. Like, unless it's putting on, like, a stasis on itself after getting hit, like, we're gonna tear this thing down.
Yeah. I miss Close Combat Specialist.
Yeah.
That ability was very, very tactically satisfying. To have your assaults turn on run and gun, run in, shoot one dude, and then be up against the corner, like, anyone comes around either of these corners, I'm blowing their fucking head off.
Yeah. Well, I feel like what we got instead of that is Blightstorm.
Yeah, and I miss CCS. It was so satisfying to have the thing come around the corner and go, like, Blightstorm is cool, don't get me wrong.
There's something cooler when he's can opening a shotgun.
Yeah, there's something much more that scratches an itch that Bladestorm really doesn't. That, don't get me wrong, Bladestorm is amazing, and I put my Rangers and Templar in situations they should not have been in, and gone, you have Bladestorm, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And they were.
Yeah, and they were.
This enemy soldier's not going to want to start its turn next to you. Mm-hmm. It's going to at least try and reposition before it shoots.
I mean, once I got Bladestorm, that's how I activated pods.
Yeah.
Kylie from Firefly would run in, or Kaylee from Firefly mm-hmm. would run into the middle of the pod and Bladestorm everything as it ran away.
Yeah.
Right?
I never used it like that. I like that.
It's great. Especially
because they all leave with half their health bar.
No. Especially when you have your specialists mm-hmm. in the background, kill zone the area the pods in mm-hmm. before they do that. Yeah. So anyone who does get away from Kaylee gets
shot. Yeah.
So Worf, Pradle Mox's character, can get an ability that's not called Bladestorm, but it's Bladestorm for his his a wrist spike or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can have him scorpion launch himself across the map, melee a dude. He still has another action, so he can use the other version of it, where he pulls himself to them, even though he's right there. So melee them again, end his turn. They begin their turn. They want to run away. Worf gets the free melee again.
Often, mine would jump to a guy, hit him once. That guy would be at, like, he's definitely going to die from the next melee hit. Yeah. So he'd literally, like, turn and just shoot another dude down the way.
So both of my robots, I'm sorry, I should say their names, Robert Ride, and Weybert Heckewitz they were given blue screen rounds. And we were talking about this.
Man, they're hating their own kind, huh?
Certain items become the property of certain soldiers.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
The blue screen rounds were owned by those two robots.
Yeah.
and so anytime we would run into robot threats, they would both pop overdrive and just, you know, and just blue screen everything.
Tear them down where yeah. they stand.
There's a lot more things vulnerable to blue screen rounds in this game than you'd think.
Yeah.
Right.
Blue screen, like, I usually don't go very deep on, like, fiddly loadout stuff in XCOM 2. And blue screen rounds are one of the ones where it's like, yo, when we unlock that...
There's too much shit that's dangerous.
There's a lot of fucking robots, turns out.
Yeah. Well, like, gatekeepers count.
Gatekeepers, yep. Codexes.
Spectres.
Spectres. Anything that looks like a robot.
The Chosen Sarcophagus.
Yeah.
That actually, I didn't experience that.
Really?
My blue screen rounds did not work on the sarcophagus. It wasn't a problem, because we just shot it, but yeah. like it was...
Oh, that's
did
weird.
Not work for me. I don't know why. Must have been one of my mods.
Yeah, it must be a mod conflict or something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what was going on, but I was like, oh, I'll totally do that. That's why I bought them in the first place.
Yeah.
But they were so useful throughout the level, just blowing up robots, that I was like, I'll keep them.
Yeah.
These sound great.
It makes things that normally feel like a threat
less
manageable.
Like Sectopods. Get destroyed by my robots, because my robot... Oh, I had the order where if you shred, you shred another one.
Okay.
And so my robot shredded three every time they shot, because eventually you get an extra shred.
Yeah.
And so with blue screen rounds, it was like, okay, you just lost three armor, and I just did like 12 damage to you.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no going wrong with like whoever you give them to. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one mission. I had them on my best sniper, who was using the Chosen's sniper rifle with blue screen rounds, and she just fucking annihilated a sectopod.
But she
took out, like, she brought it from full to, like, almost dead in a single shot.
But my point was that with the robots versus a sectopod, the sectopod shows up, and usually what happens with a sectopod is you need to devote most of your resources to taking that thing out.
Yeah.
Right. But what happens with the robots is one or one and a half of their resources is used to take out the sectopod.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is free to deal with whatever else threats are there, which is really nice.
Also, fun thing about blue screen rounds, they go in the sidearm as well.
Oh, I did.
So snipers get a pistol and sniper rifle.
Yeah, so you can just triple
tap
that fucker.
So if you have the one where you get to take a free shot at everybody, so you can have them use their real action shooting the sniper rifle and pistol things up. Mm,
and facing off against everyone else.
Plus if they have lightning hands, too.
Yeah. Yeah, get that free... Yeah, get the single free pistol shot.
Like Owen, did you have the Tactical Legacy Pack installed?
Yeah, maybe.
So you had the fucking slapping ass music on the loadout screen?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I had to turn that off. I got sick. I couldn't stand it because it takes so long to load out everyone's gear, and it's like a fucking 20-second music loop.
It's so good.
So I got good. Really fucking... Like, that song specifically is why I had to turn it off at one point.
Okay.
It was just like...
I switched to it and never looked back.
Yeah, I mean, you
didn't. Shit.
I couldn't stand that for a while.
It was too rocking.
I put on my smooth XCOM playlist that I made last year.
So I want to... The other thing, are we about to phase out of XCOM time?
No. We're just moving down the list.
There's
way more to say about XCOM.
So the ending to this game is totally a telegraph for a third game.
Well, yeah, it's sequel bait. Yeah, that's what you do.
I need it. It needs to happen.
Well, from what I understand, it's coming.
Firaxis is hiring. Let's go.
I mean, they explicitly use the phrase Terror from the Deep in the epilogue.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Very excited. It's going to be fun.
Kaiju XCOM.
I want more, like, I'm saving this for a time when it's slotted into the conversation naturally, and I'm just going to bring it out, because whatever. I want more, The amount of enrichment that's brought to the tactical and strategic play between 1 and 2, I want that same leap in the, like, RP and soldier stories of the game.
Well, I think they're moving in that direction. Bonds were a huge leap.
Yeah. There's mechanical things that do it. But, like, so, like, a thing I watched... for a while, I was watching a Let's Play of XCOM 2, where most of every episode was them after the mission... recustomizing their soldiers in reaction to what had transpired, and it was a complex role play between the two people doing it. And it's like, it's very delicious to watch, but if you're playing by yourself,
It's harder
to do. And you don't have someone to riff with about it. It's harder to do. So I this playthrough, I tried to like.
I want reactionary things in the game to what happens in that way.
So there was a mod that Beagle was talking about on his stream, and he's using it where that thing you were talking about, where you get a scar if you have more than a certain injury. Mm-hmm. He has a mod where it rolls a dice.
Okay.
Based on how many days you're injured. And then adds a scar to your character.
Okay, yeah, so like...
Based on that.
Yeah, to catch up to what you just brought up. Like, so I put a self-imposed rule on myself that if anyone got injured more than 10 days, you got a scar. And if you already had a scar, your scar was replaced with a bigger scar. which leads to, like, some real...
Didn't Keenan's character go crazy?
Yeah. Well, so he got just super injured when he was already at, like, max scarification.
so he put on a welding mask.
Yeah. There's a couple people that kind of ended up like that by the end of the game. They got some, like, Man in the Iron Mask shit going on.
Oh, and, like, you think about it. Like, the veterans of this war are going to be noticeable.
Well, sure.
Like, no matter what.
Well, so, like, the other thing that, like, made me wish for it more is, like, I think we all use this mod, the one that unrestricts...
Cosmetics.
Cosmetic. Yeah. Like, all the cosmetic pieces.
I ended up turning it off because I got bugged by it, but...
So, yeah, so it lets you use any torso and legs from any human character in the entire game, which extends to, like, VIPs, or even, like, Tigan and, like, the named people in your ship.
Yeah, because like, those models all exist.
Yeah, it lets you mismatch their armor from what they're wearing, which I really liked, because I hate the look of the powered armor.
Oh, yeah, XCOM it's awful. 2.
The, like, smooth alien... metal muscle suit shit.
Yeah.
So when we got powered armor, I just made it look like plated armor.
Yeah. I actually really dislike the, this is what the 60s thought aliens would look like, but up-rezzed sort of aesthetic that XCOM has.
Yeah.
And like, especially since that game, The Bureau, came out, where it's all like 60s shit. And it's like, I much preferred just the aesthetic of Enemy Unknown.
2K's aesthetic being plugged in.
Yeah, I always hated the top tier armor in Unknown too. Like,
when I think of Unknown, I think of the like EOD suits the gunners had and the like.
Yeah, that's fine. But the stuff at the very top of the tech tree in the game always rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I always liked the notion that like when humans get plasma technology, it's not going to look like what the aliens' plasma technology looks like when we. Like, yes, we're going to build the hovercraft starfighters, but it's not going to look like a UFO. It's going to look kind of like a fighter plane, but different.
Did you like the ones from EU?
I liked some of that stuff. Okay. I like XCOM's aesthetic.
No, I mean the fighters specifically, like, because there's the top tier, like, alien.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're fine.
The aesthetic of all these games for me has always been a really mixed bag. The aesthetic of, like, I get that the aliens are, like, this gestalt of many different races being brought under one umbrella, but, like, how diverse their technology appears, it's like, come on, dude, like, if you're gonna bring them all under your grip, like, you'd expect this stuff to be at least a little more cohesive looking.
Right. Yeah, like floaters look like they're from Quake, and
Neutrons
exactly. look like they're from Halo, and,
yeah. And I never really dug that part, or it's especially like noticeable in XCOM 2, where like the Archons are like these ornate golden statues from like a church.
Yeah,
and it's like, who signed off on this armor? Who let them build this shit? like who in Advent was like, ah, yes, they want the ornate gold armor. Yes.
Like you're mind controlling and subjugating all these creatures, and yet you're letting them have this, like, incredible, unique, special snowflake area, visual design that, like, doesn't make sense.
Like, I love that Advent has, like, this big, singular, cohesive art style of, like, their vehicles, their dropships, their troopers, but it's like the
aliens come in and get to do whatever they want.
The aliens are a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
I think the Andromedon fits with the Advent.
I like the Andromedon a lot. I like that...
The new Gatekeeper fits with it, I feel like.
Yeah. I like how the weapons look across all the soldiers. The The guns, at least.
Yeah, the plasma guns.
The Codexes, and what's the one that's like the Codex, and I always forget the name?
Spectre.
Spectre. The Spectre's plasma rifle, the Codex plasma rifle, and the Muton plasma rifle. I like that they all look like they came from the same store.
Right, right.
But I don't like that the soldiers themselves don't look like they came from the same store.
Right. I think the Mutons get close, but definitely, yeah. Like, the Chrysalid is Starship Troopers. And
yeah.
Well, and there is a way to evoke that while having your own aesthetic, right? Like, there's a way to texture them or something that would allow you to do your thing with them.
Yeah.
That isn't done.
And honestly, this is just, like, a really cosmetic thing that, like, it just chafes on my eyes a little bit, but I don't really mind it in a huge way.
Yeah.
With maybe the exception of the Archon, because it's like, what the fuck, dudes?
Like, even Tygon's like, what the fuck, yeah, like, dudes?
Get it together, fellas. Then the snake, fuck the snake people. I fucking hate. I hate everything about their art direction. But like, so like the thing I want out of like the next XCOM though is like I just want like that amount of layer of customization, but also like mechanically underlined storytelling in the soldiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Like, I feel like that's something I have to make myself bring to the table to get. Not even how much I want, but to get close to how much I want out of it.
Well, and you hear, even in, like, XCOM, new XCOM 1 dev diaries, like, you hear that this is a thing even they do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like, for them to try and actually, like, encode that into the game a little more makes sense.
A little bit more of the CK2 Dwarf Fortress Rimworld story generation type stuff.
Like, I would love it if, like, you know when you get a soldier...
Or, like, the Nemesis system.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, like, so when you go to a soldier, you know, you can, like, go to their bio, and the game has generated them a bio when the soldier was created. And it if you customize that soldier deeply, that bio may not make sense. And then that bio never changes unless you go in there and type things into it. Mm-hmm. Like, what if, like, the game would add a baseline after every mission?
They did this. They did that.
Spit 2 to 3 sentences into that bio.
Right, like CK does that with your history.
Yeah,
right?
Like what if every soldier had like a journal?
Yeah.
And it's like soldier's bondmate was injured. Their best mate, you know, bonus got fucking annihilated by a Muton Berserker, right. And they were never the same afterwards.
Was it you who was telling me about the mech game where the enemy pilots eject and bond with you?
Yeah, there's a squad tactical game in development called Phantom Brigade.
Yeah,
that I've been keeping my eye on. Where it is an XCOM, but you have giant mecha, and the enemy pilots that you like shoot down. Their pilots survive because they eject from their mechs. And like, I haven't played it yet. I've only like seen footage of it. Mm-hmm. But the notion is that like they remember you. They remember your vehicles. They remember your people. They remember that you killed their best friend and things.
They develop grudges the same way we do as players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is like that kind of dynamic storytelling is already there for us as players, and for them to adapt to that in a systems way would be really cool.
And it's an XCOM too a little bit. You know, like it's very difficult to kill an alien ruler the first time you meet it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you. The next time you see that alien ruler, he's going to have the damage he had last time. He's like, oh, you fucker. Like, I'm coming for you, you know.
But he's also going to fuck your shit in, because that's what he does.
Yeah, like... or the Chosen. The Chosen are the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chosen, you made that one mission a real pain in the ass. You know, like, you killed 2 dudes on the black site, because you showed up on the fucking black site, you dick.
Yeah. I just watched Beagle go to the black site against the Chosen sniper with updated AI. So the Chosen sniper just sat in the black site. Overwatching the entire time, and he doesn't have eyes on him.
Yeah.
So, like, he's just like, okay, so if I move this soldier, are they just gonna die?
Yep.
And that happened, like, twice, and then he sent the Reaper up, and the Reaper was like, go find him!
Yeah. Go let him know he has to go home.
But because XCOM 2's AI cheats and knows where your soldiers are at all times, the hunter responded to that by going inside. But he broke loss, so he could move up, and it was cool.
Yeah, well... If anyone should get to cheat, it's the Hunter. The Hunter kind of sucks.
Yeah, the Hunter does kind of suck, to be fair. I mean, his AI is... The improved AI made him actually very scary in this mod. But,
He's a little too, like, I'm going to face charge you for what it's
character. The default Hunter is a little stupid.
Yeah. It makes you wonder, like, what was he like in testing? You know, like, is it that they pull him back from the brink in testing, where it's just like, this dude just kills everything.
Well, that's the thing with snipers, is it's like, you can't, like, unless you are a sniper and you're doing, like, an Enemy of the Gates type thing, fighting against a sniper is a very, like, you either win or you lose.
Yeah.
Like, you remember fighting against the Quiet? It's like, okay, I get to do nothing for an extremely long period of time, and then I get to do one thing, and then, and it's like, because of the conceit of, like, video game person health, mm-hmm. she gets to run away and try again, and we do this loop again. But it's like, in reality, fighting a sniper is very, like, you either win completely or lose completely, right? So, like that can't be fun.
It's yeah. very, it's very hard to design a video game conflict around
sniping. A sniper, yeah. Like, unless you're doing the sniping.
Right. Like, it's very hard to make that interesting without making it one-sided one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And that inherently makes it uninteresting,
right?
So,
because the firefight needs to evolve and have depth.
It's almost like sniper fights need to be scripted to be interesting, so that they can't go off the rails in directions you don't want them to.
Yeah.
Like, which I wouldn't normally advocate for, but to you could generate some really interesting encounters based on event-based stuff.
Yeah.
So something that wasn't rooted mechanically in
the game. Because like even like Sniper Elite, which like that's that game, right? Like it's all about that,
right?
Half the time in that game, you go find something that makes noise, you sit next to it, you shoot a dude in the head,
right?
Rinse, lather, repeat until there's no Nazis down there,
right?
And then every once in a while, there's a sniper and he sees you from crazy far away, and if you weren't prepped, you're done.
Yeah,
right. Like,
yeah. I remember watching you play the multiplayer on that, and I was like, this doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, the multiplayer on that's brutal, because everyone hides, and then someone gets a shot, and then everyone shoots.
Yeah.
And whoever shot last usually wins.
Fucking stupid.
It was crazy. I dipped out of that real quick.
Yeah. I watched you play that, like, once. So, does anyone have anything else to say about XCOM 2, other than that it's a fantastic game, especially with the addition of War of the Chosen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think War of the Chosen gave that game a lot of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It made it flow a lot better. Like, they integrated what was already there with War of the Chosen mm-hmm. in a way that's very good.
The only thing, one of the real bummers, though, is if you bought the game like me, where I bought the, like, season pass on pre-order, the DLCs came out one by one, and it did mean that you had to play it... play it through multiple times to see it all, because the DLCs didn't all come out at once.
Mm-hmm.
There is a special, there's a unique tailored mission where you get mech troopers that if you play with all the DLC turned on, you won't get that mission.
Oh, Shen's Last Gift.
You're talking about Shen's Last Gift.
Yeah. And like, that's a really cool mission. And I think it's kind of a bummer that like Sparks just become something you can research.
Right.
I like that you earned it.
Yeah.
In that mission.
Like, there's this really fucking frantic mission where you have to...
No, I played it.
You played it? Okay, yeah.
But talking about it...
No, that's the thing. The context I should mention of the podcast. Is that I didn't know in the launcher you have to click a button to, like, turn on WotC content. Yeah. And so I was playing the default game. So I did, like, I did the first Hunter mission where you go fight the Snake Man. Mm-hmm. The Snake King.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, the alien rulers also all have their own special missions.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's kind of a bummer that those aren't, a part of War of the Chosen.
I think War of the Chosen did a lot, though. Like, I think they realized with the three alien royalty that, like, wait a minute, having, like, character enemies
mm-hmm.
is a thing. And then they went and did, like, let's fucking go hard on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, like you said, it's a bummer you miss out on those missions, but those missions are very grueling.
Yeah, they're tough.
They kind of suck. And that aspect.
That Shen's Last Gift mission came too early.
In that specific, yeah, it comes too early. It's too grueling for where you're at in the level, and it presents itself like any other mission. And I think that causes like massive pacing problems for the game as a whole. And I like the way that it's implemented. I played both. I like the way that it's implemented in WotC.
I agree that mission was cool, but that mission should have come like 2 months later.
Yeah. I just want for me it's just hard because it's such a shame because it's an interesting mission in that it's a story mission with like unique dialogue and very deliberately crafted maps.
There's assets in that mission that aren't anywhere else.
And there's cool set pieces in those missions you don't see anywhere else. And like
I agree, those things could have been recycled into the base game better. but just as far as the pacing and overall.
Yeah, it's just, it, like, as someone who's played through this campaign, like, 3 or 4 times now, like, I've been on a lot of fucking random-ass missions, you know, like, I want that variety.
Having those landmark-type things is cool.
I gotta say, having the multiple types of Terra mission was a breath of fresh air in the WotC. The ones with the resistance soldiers everywhere, those were great.
Dudes fucking wreck shop.
Yeah, yeah. You ever see like a Muton Berserker just get chipped apart by dudes with little, you know, PP guns?
Yeah.
Like it's delightful to watch.
When there's 6 of them, it doesn't matter what you are.
Yeah.
Because they just do 6 damage each and wreck your day.
Well, mine did 3.
Yeah.
So late game they start doing damage.
They get your breakthrough damage bonuses.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They
straight up killed like half the aliens on the map for me. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it was cool.
They don't get their armor upgrades.
Nope. They gotta kill them before they get there.
Damn.
But yeah, I would love to see some more like landmark theme park missions and more enemy characterization, even like a nemesis system.
I would want a deeper nemesis system, because I feel like almost calling the Chosen, saying that the Chosen have a nemesis system.
No,
is
that's
like really
no. Like
it.
they feel like very top level pieces of something that could
go
into that.
Yeah,
I think it'd be cool if instead of doing the I like the resistance orders, but I also like the spy missions from EW.
Yeah,
those were missed. Those were missed by me.
I mean, you get those. You get something sort of like those with the ambushes, where you'll get to play.
Never did an ambush.
Oh, really? Yeah. So if your guys get ambushed on one of those missions, you get to play as only the people you sent on that mission.
Whoever you sent, and you got to go.
Yeah,
you got
to
go.
Yeah, and so you basically, it'll usually be something like you have to scramble across the map to a drop to like an extraction point.
I had a really good one where it was a sniper and a ranger.
Uh huh.
And the ranger went down because of a muton, and the sniper, running through, scoops him up and runs up a fire escape, and they end up getting across the map and triggering another pod, and I literally got to the dropship that turned the guy on his shoulders died.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no!
How do you reckon you'd do that? Carry a fully grown human who is unconscious
up
on
a
your
fire
shoulder
escape.
And, like, Matt's been shot by a plasma rifle. He is unconscious. Keenan, it's your job to carry Matt up a fire escape. Like, what the fuck?
Up a fire escape with no movement penalty and still going the same distance I normally
would.
Movement penalty. No, for sure. That's why it's ridiculous.
Matt's got a grenade launcher, a heavy machine gun,
and
heavy steel power armor.
Yeah.
It's like, what? What?
The soldiers of XCOM are very well trained.
It was a superhuman effort, and I allowed
that... You can jump off of buildings.
Yeah.
I allowed that guy to die via not save scum, because it was a better story that way.
Yeah. Yeah, those ambushes will teach you not to just, like, send fucking anybody on those
missions.
Yeah,
no, you start, look... The minute you get one of those missions, you start looking at those like, alright, who's going together?
Like,
who's gonna pull each other out of the shit?
I remember, like, the first time one of those went really sour for me, I sent 2 not pistol snipers, but, like, snipers on a mission together. And if you're running the whole time, like, all you get's that pistol shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, and these guys are terrible with their pistols. It's just like, this is the fucking worst. And so, like, you just can't kill anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a lost, like, a city.
Most of them end up being lost missions.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That seems to be how they go.
I think it makes sense, though, that you would escape through a town with the lost in them.
Yeah.
Like, doctrine-wise, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's like taking your starship into the nebula.
Yeah, like, they don't want to be here, so why wouldn't we leave this way? Like,
yeah, well, also, those cities are also just always very dense. Like, it's always, like, 3 stories
right. And
buildings and fire escapes.
Turns out the lost mostly hang out on floor 1.
But, yeah, I think my overall point was, I think there's room for that kind of thing to generate better stories. Like, you guys just went off on these fucking tangents. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's more stuff Jake and the crew have to learn from Long War, and more things they could have kept from EU.
I think they went in good directions.
More things they could learn from Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you go play like Dwarf Fortress or Rimworld or one of those type games for a while, you could learn some things about the type of thing Owen you're asking for. Or even just like any Paradox game, like a Stellaris or something.
Yeah,
that would be, I think, a like a less character focused,
better more. Listening to what the player is doing in the code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, hey, how many Payday 2s out of 5 does this game get?
Ooh,
that is a difficult question, actually, for me.
Really? I think it's like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I like 3.
Okay, I was going with 4.
Okay, yeah, I'm
fine with 4. Okay. I was...
Yeah, like this game, like, this game has plasma rocket launchers in it, you know, like...
There's so much to be joyfully stupid about.
Shoulder pads! Like,
to quote...
Just one.
To quote Myrmidon Robert Ryde, I fucked the music with my serpent tongue.
Oh, shit, I didn't even talk about how I got Jennifer Lawrence in my squad.
Oh, you need to talk about...
yeah, you need to talk about J-Law.
You need to talk about J-Law, and you need to talk about voice packs. Those are two things you need to
talk
about.
Oh, yeah. All right, so...
Before we move on.
Yeah, before we get into our awards, let's have, like, a little, like, Steam Workshop Mod Corner talk.
Mod Corner.
So we all went, like, fucking... We've talked about the mods a little bit, but like...
Yeah, we got Buck Wild.
Yeah, we went pretty deep on the mods.
We took the bad playstyle ethos to the max here.
Here's what I'll tell you. If you want to enrich your roleplay experience in an XCOM game...
Voice packs.
Just go look for voice packs on the workshop.
Oh, there's some gold.
Like, they're... More than any visual customization, because your soldiers are so tiny when you're on the mission, the customization that will stand out more than anything is the voice you give them.
I got standouts. Master Shake... Vehek from Warframe.
Yep.
Teal Rigor from Warframe. And MC Ride from Death Grips.
All of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force voice packs are very well made.
Yes.
So if you like Aqua Teen, highly recommend them, especially Carl.
Carl. Oh.
Carl's very good. Oh. I we've highlighted Carl before to each other.
Yeah.
But I used Master Shake for Barry from Archer. He was one of my specialists. Nice. And I loved how whiny he was.
Oh, yeah. The smarm out of all of them is so good.
The Payday 2 voice packs are really good. Just first of all, because they're well produced, because they're from a professionally made video game.
They're from similar situations.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, is they are from a squad co-op first-person shooter, so it's a lot of voice lines of, I'm under fire, I've been injured, I killed him really good. Like, I have a shotgun, yeah. I love my shotgun.
I used Clovers for a little while on somebody.
Yeah, I use Clovers, I use all of them, like, they're all great.
There's a lot of really good robot-specific voice packs.
Yeah, there is.
Well, I love how the robot adds a little layer to it.
Yeah. Well, and so, when people make voice packs, too... They'll sometimes make a robot version of it.
Oh.
Like, there's a Bob Ross voice pack you can get, where he's, like, very calm and nice.
But robot Bob Ross.
But the person who made it made a robot. They put a little vocoder filter on it, too. Mm-hmm. And
you had Soundwave from Transformers.
Yeah, there's a good Soundwave one. There's some Stargate voice packs that are not very well made.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Just the audio sample capture is not good. They just sound crummy. I would really love to have a Jack O'Neill. I want...
Yeah, if there's anyone.
Yeah.
If there's anyone, it's Jack. Maybe Teal'c. But Teal'c would be a lot of indeed.
There is a Teal'c voice pack, and it suffers from the same audio quality problems. So Jennifer Lawrence, on my very first mission, I get a dear friend of the show, Galen Deal.
Mm-hmm.
I get a randomly generated soldier named Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence is not in my character pool. I'm not a huge Jennifer Lawrence fan.
Yo, but you became one.
So after that mission, I had to go into the customizing tools and was like, all right, well, let's make it look like Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. And she's like the most decorated soldier in XCOM.
Hell yeah.
Like, I maxed out her rank. She's like apparently like a tactical genius or something.
Yeah, she volunteered as tribute.
She's a highly decorated sniper. She doesn't own the chosen weapons like you were talking about, but, like, she usually ends up with them. I don't know. I guess that's all I had to say. I was so...
There were a lot of stories in our Discord hangouts about what J-Law had just done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like... I feel like we shouldn't go at too much lengths of our individual XCOM tales, because it's a little bit like listening to someone describe their dreams. Like, listening to someone else's XCOM story isn't always that interesting, but just, like, the fucking nonsense-ass stories that we had just rolling out of us. Get voice packs. Voice packs are good.
Voice packs are good.
Also,
feel free to exploit the Bondmate double shot.
There's a lot of nationalities that the soldiers can have in XCOM that are not represented in the voices. Because the voice packs that are in the game are the countries that the game was localized to.
Yeah.
So it's only like 4 or 5 countries. But like, there's a really good set of soldier voice packs from the Total War games. So, like, I don't speak Japanese, I don't speak Chinese, so I don't know what these voice packs say, but at least now my Japanese and Chinese soldiers are speaking Japanese and Chinese.
And, like, again, similar sort of situations, it ostensibly matches up in some way.
Yeah, I mean, they sound really stressed out. I have no idea what they're saying. I mean, for all I know, they're going to be talking about horse archers.
Yeah.
Because they're from a medieval strategy game, those voice packs.
Yep. You got to ride the Iron Rooster.
Yeah. But they sound great.
Pay-tow.
Also, another reason that Payday 2 is really good is they have a bunch of characters in that game that feature accents across many nationalities. Mm-hmm.
They
have like a good Polish guy, and they've got good Russian people.
Who's Polish?
Isn't Dragon Polish?
No.
What is Dragon?
He's further south.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know exactly, but he's not Polish.
Yeah, okay, he's
further
south. He's wherever Lion Game Lion's from. I think it's Croatia, but I'm not
sure.
Okay,
you might be right. Okay. Oh, man.
Whatever. Whoops. Yeah, that's a yikes for me. All right, so...
But yeah, anyway.
Okay, how many Spelunkies out of 5?
I'm
going high on this one.
I'm going to go with 3.
I can do 3.
Yep. How many Fallout New Vegas's? Lower end of the spectrum, yeah, but definitely not 0.
A non-zero figure.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it like a 1.
Yeah, 1.
I was at 2 or 1, so yeah, there we go. TIE Fighter.
Oh, this is high.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because of the
I develop relationships with ships in TIE Fighter, and this happened here, too.
Also, this game is like a child of the 90s.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? 4 or 5?
I
want to
go like 4 or 5.
4?
4.
4.
You were not bad guys.
Alpha Centauri?
It's not 5.
Yeah, like a 2.
Yeah, there's not a lot of ideological clashing.
Yeah, it's actually, so...
It's
You get emotionally invested in XCOM, but when you actually go do research, you're like, hey, what lore do we know about sectoids? And it's like, they're small.
Yeah.
They're afraid.
Yeah, like, the actual background to XCOM is pretty saccharine.
Yeah, it's really some great...
Sweet? What? No, it's... Boring. Like, that's... It gets used that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard saccharine used that way.
I've heard it used that way. Maybe I'm fucking up.
Yeah, it's got some real, like schoolyard-level morality play, where it's just like, the aliens are bad because they are enslaving everyone, and you are good because you are fighting the people who are enslaving.
Yeah.
It's like some Star Wars-level...
It's again the 60s... Star Wars. It's the 60s retro-future thing happening.
You gotta ask yourself, what was the Ethereal's plan?
Yeah.
And in XCOM 1, you're like... Mm-hmm. We killed those guys. And XCOM 2, like, I guess they were making, like, cool guys out of us and them.
I understood it that the Avatar was supposed to be bodies for themselves.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. In XCOM 2, there's slightly any story.
Oh, yeah, when I had that Avatar body on the slab and they're talking about it, I'm like, hey, can we keep the perfect man? We'll feed the perfect man. I was doing that whole thing in my head. Yeah. We'll feed him and play with him.
You do get to keep the perfect man.
I am the perfect man by the end of the game.
Yeah. There's like some weird fan theories out there because there's a good Ethereal in the XCOM Bureau game.
Okay.
Who like identifies with humanity and defends humanity against the rest of the Ethereal collective.
Okay.
And so there's some people who are saying that like the commander is the person that Ethereal is
they kind
like,
of currently hint.
Psychically attached to.
They kind of hint to that.
And that's why you're able to get into the Avatar body.
Okay.
Yeah, they kind of hint towards that with a lot of the dialogue with the Ethereals, because they talk about you like, as the traitor.
It's like their tie-in to the Bureau.
Okay.
Yeah, like they talk about you as the traitor and the return. And...
Okay, so everything you just said makes sense, but also recognize there's always those people that need to tie together every single part of this IP.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that's what it is.
You know, it's like whenever a Star Wars trailer comes out and they're like, ooh, this single image in the Star Wars trailer.
It means this.
It relates to this thing someone said in Attack of the Clones. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
You're right. No. That's the same cup.
Yeah. Like, you're crazy.
It's the same jug of blue milk.
Like, I remember, like, what was it? Like, the Rogue One trailer? There was, like, in Rogue One, you get to see Darth Vader in his back-to-tank when he's resting. But you get to see that back-to-tank in a flash in the trailer. And they're like, ah, that must be Darth Plagueis.
Nope.
And it's like, no!
Definitely not.
Go away!
You're way too late for that. Also, fuck that.
How many... We did Alpha Centauri, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's time for Guybrush Threepwood, and it's the inevitable part where I remind you that Guybrush Threepwood is a cartoon character and can't actually die.
So I figured it out.
Okay. This is up to you. So.
Yeah, no.
He activates every pod.
So Guybrush...
he does activate every pod.
He does activate every pod, for sure. But he's also the Avatar. You gotta keep that boy alive. Okay. But he's got some weird dumb powers that you're not used to either.
So yeah, and
wait, I guess his Avatar powers probably suck.
Yeah, yeah, for real.
Like, certain person trips.
Your gun doesn't work this turn. Have some gum. He gained one hit point.
He made a Rube Goldberg device out of shit he found. Uh-huh. It does one specific thing and then breaks.
Yep. No, that's how he fits in, though, is he's the VIP that you have to drag around and like, ah, fucking don't let him get hit!
So he's Van Dorn?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
I don't fucking appreciate the dialogue in XCOM 2. He's like, we're getting contacts from some jackass named Van Dorn. Doesn't sound like the type of guy we need to recruit, because fuck you, I recruited that dude in Long War, and he was one of my best gunners. Aww. Fuck you, he's amazing. It's like, I have emotional attachments.
It's like them riffing on the mission everyone hated.
He's like, saved multiple, like, people's lives in various games.
Yo,
played,
if you need someone to save someone, the gunner is your guy.
Like, if you get a gunner who's high enough rank that he's firing twice when you tell him to fire, and then you give him the jetpack, and you're just like, I am a mobile weapons platform, I can see everyone, I have squad sight because it's Long War, and guess what? Everyone is safe. Right? Yep. He's just like, man, gunners. Oh, man,
I just thought of something I want for... I wish existed in XCOM 2.
Yeah.
And I know that this is, like, a really ridiculous ask of the developers, because, like, I love the character pool system in XCOM 2. I think it's very fun. I wish there was a way for XCOM 2 to pull your last save from XCOM 1 and convert those soldiers into your character pool.
Yes.
Because, like, there's definitely specific people I recreated in my pool.
The return of Snipes
McGillicuddy. But how cool would it be if, when they entered the game, it had their kill counts?
Yeah.
And things like that? Mm-hmm. And it's like...
Give them, like, a veteran tag? I mean,
there should definitely be situations where... Because XCOM did exist in this universe, right? And you did have those soldiers, and they were proficient at their jobs. There should be situations where you run into a, like, hermit with a fucking eye patch covered in, like, cobbled-together Advent armor in the woods who's like, hey, so I heard XCOM's back, right? And I just hiked across all of Eurasia to find the...
I hear you're getting the old band back
to me. Yeah, exactly. And then it's Dolphin... Mine would be Dolphin Lady.
Yeah. yeah, it would.
Ricardo Garza, man.
No.
Although, like, Garza became a mech trooper, so I don't even know what happened.
Yeah, what would that look? That was part of my point when you brought up the mech troopers, is that mech troopers happen after the base assault, so mech troopers don't even exist.
But Garza existed.
Garza does exist, but he was never a mech trooper.
Yeah.
Because they don't exist.
Yo, but Garza's already been through some shit.
Yeah.
Like, you still got a story there.
Also, I wish there was more references to old Exalt.
Yeah. You can get Exalt tattoos.
And you can get Exalt neckerchiefs. Yeah, I know. I definitely, like, all of us have an Exalt shoulder.
Exalt was cool because it solves the simplistic problem we were talking about earlier. Exalt was a separate ideology. It was a separate, like even though it was very boilerplate in its creation and use.
Capitalism.
And then, so one last thing, we forgot games that should bang, and mine was, Pillars of Eternity and XCOM. I think after Pillars of Eternity, I'm gonna spoiler Pillars of Eternity real quick, so you can just turn off the episode if you don't want to hear that. After Pillars of Eternity 2, I'm only slightly, you've already heard this.
Yeah, but don't remind me what it is.
Okay. Oh, you forgot? All right. I won't then.
All
right. So after the events of, it's set after the events of Deadfire, and you are a group of coalition of the willing from different nations across...
But, like, actually so.
Yeah. Okay. Who are going around stopping interdimensional threats from invading from the afterlife. And those take... those, like, corrupt and form off of the Kith's nightmares of what that looks like, you know, Warhammer style. From the warp, and so you just be like, oh, there's a breach in Valeria, or not Valeria, what is it called? The black people in Italy?
Republics?
The Valians, yep, that's what it is. You go to Valia, and there's like a rip in space-time, like Oblivion style, and you go there, and a bunch of weird shit comes out, and you tactically fight it, you know, on like a grid, in a turn-based thing, and everything's designed to facilitate that.
Yeah, I think the XCOM tactical fight thing right, can be applied to a lot of other...
With the low health and the gritty and the soldier bonds and the recurring villains and the slow equipment creep.
I think there's room for more of that.
I thought of two names that should bang. Nothing I haven't already said. I think RimWorld and XCOM 2 should bang.
Yeah. I mean, that fits this category. Yeah, I suppose that's it. So,
Guybrush... Wait, what's our next game?
How does Guybrush Threepwood do? We never actually...
I think he makes it on the back of his boys.
Okay.
I think his squad dies.
Yeah.
he lives, everyone else doesn't.
He manages to find the Sky Ranger or whatever it is again. Yeah. And then, like, they never send him on a mission.
He's like, hey, Firebrand, it happened again.
Well, it needs to be like one of those reveals like, guys, the Sky Ranger's here. Guys?
Yeah. There's like a fucking Muton in the background pulling its sword gun out of someone.
What was it? Like, it's like Saving Private Ryan at the end, like the Ranger stabbing the Muton Berserker. Yeah. He's bleeding out on the floor. Yeah. God damn.
Well, because he activated every pod, right?
Yeah, he activated every pod. So, we're next time going to play Ape Out.
Yeah.
Do we want to mention anything else about next time?
No.
No? Okay.
We're going to play Ape Out.
Goodbye.
Music is composed by my good friend Benjamin Busey, and you can find more of his music at soundcloud.com/BucciBay, which is spelled BucciBae.
I thought it was pronounced Bucky.
Bucky.